Blog Talk Radio.
Changes out there. Welcome to Talking Real to You. My name is Dr. Laura D. Smith. I'm the host of the show. And my co-host, and I want to introduce her right now, is none only but my daughter, Lauren D. Smith.
Good evening, everybody. I'm excited to be back with you on this Thursday after our long break. So I'm ready to get going with the topics that we have prepared for you today.
Awesome, awesome, Lauren. Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. It's always good to have this team together because it's the only father and daughter team that's doing talk radio right now. So we're very excited about that. Our main theme tonight is genuine talk about educational and political issues. The thing about talking real to you is all about energetic conversation about just plain life issues. And I always say just plain old life issues. So we're so excited. Now, our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to go to the web link to hear the show, we have www.blogtalkradio.com/LDAlberto Smith Production. And you should be able to get to that site very quickly. And we want you to join us. So we're very excited. Okay, Laura, we got a lot of topics that we want to talk about tonight. But we're going to focus on educational and political topics, and we do want you to call in. You know, if you're on the line, just push the number one, and we'll identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, and then we'll get you on and let you join in the conversation. All right, the first topic we want to talk about is in relation to the Alabama Education Association suing the interim state superintendent of the state of Alabama in regards to the Department of Education, Dr. Ed Richardson. And the suit is over the sale of Montgomery School to Pike Road. So in essence, there's a particular school that's being sold to Pike Road. Pike Road is a community that incorporated several years ago, started their own school system, so they needed another building. However, George Washington is located in that area. It's in an area that's called Mount Meigs and Pike Road. So they have incorporated that area to make it. So there's been a talk and been some plans put into or proposal to sell George Washington. However, there's a lawsuit filed by the Alabama Education Association in opposition to the sale of George Washington Middle School. So we just want to talk about that a little bit. It's going to be considered to be a Pike Road school. They're going to keep the name, but they're going to kind of keep the historical significance. But there, that lawsuit said, no, we're not ready to sell this. this interim state superintendent. But let me give you some background before my co-hosts jump in here. But there's some back. That's the background related to this is that Montgomery Public Schools asked for intervention from the State Department, and the State Department of Education under the previous superintendent had put a CEO over there, academic officer, Dr. Eckerton, to work with those individuals, Reginald Eckerton, work with the Board of Education to kind of get everything in order. However, in the process, there were some real serious decisions had to be made, and those decisions was to get them in financial stability, work on making sure the staff is not overstaffed, making some cuts in there, here and there, whether it's teachers or administrators or whoever it may be, central office staff. But in the process, there are four properties. It's over 7 to 9 properties that's only going to be sold or no longer used, and everything will be consolidated. That's part of the physical plan. However, since George Washington is a school that was put up for sale and put out on the block to be sold, the Pike Road, for at one time I heard it was $11.5 million, but it's since moved to $9.5 million with the stipulation of a $1.5 million given to, which was inadvertently sent to Pike Road that belongs to Montgomery Public Schools, and that's going to be included. So the proposal offered by Dr. Richardson in reforming the school system was that to sell George Washington for Pike Road, get the 9.5 and add the 1.5, so it'll be right over $11 million. So that's what one of the talks. So, co-host, you want to share some thought in regards to what's the talk about AEA suing Ed Richardson over this sale of the Montgomery School to Pike Road?
Hello?
Laura. Yeah,
hello?
Laura. Go ahead,
oh.
On. Yeah.
I have no problem with the sale, especially if it's, well, the school system claimed that they're in debt. The Montgomery Public School System claimed that they were in debt. And, you know, being in debt and the sale of this junior high school, I do not think this is a bad move on the interim superintendent part. I think it's a way that could help with the financial problems that the school system is facing. Now, it's a lot of discussion saying that the sale of it was illegal or they didn't like the way it was done and that it's historic property and you can't sell historic property. I kind of disagree with that. I believe that you can sell this property. And if anybody's ever been down to this school, you'll see it was 2 years removed from the being ready for renovation. The school needs to be renovated, period. So they're going to close their school down. So the kids that were in that school, in my opinion, this is the best situation for these kids. It's 4 schools that these kids can actually go to. You have Brubaker Junior High, Capitol Heights. Well, it's actually 5. You got Brubaker, Capitol Heights, Goodwin, Johnny Carr, and then they can go to Pike Road. What people do not understand is a lot of these kids live in Pike Road, or they live close to the line. Well, they say, well, you're taking our kids. You're taking our kids. Well, you claim the school overcrowded anyway. So 100 kids leaving your school system is not going to hurt you because more than 100 leave every year to go to private school. They move out of county lines. So that's not going to hurt. I see the sale as being something that's a positive thing for the school system because if you think about it, would you rather for them to close this one school? You have 4 schools for these kids to go to. Would you rather for them to close, well, I think, what is it, 7 schools that close? Would you rather them to close 14, 15? No. So take the yays with the nays, and you kind of move on and try to see how you can get this sale to be positive for the school system when it comes to this budgeting and this financial crisis that they're in.
That's awesome comment. And just kind of add to that, even though that lawsuit was filed against the interim superintendent, Ed Richardson, state superintendent, the mayor of Pike Road, which is Gordon Stone, and you have Charlotte Meadows, who's opening this fall lead academic charter school, which would be the first charter school in Montgomery, and there are others that are being mentioned. So the lawsuit has spread it out. Now, today, Ed Richardson was on the news talking and meeting about this is going to come to, it's going to come close very quickly. They're going to work this out and be able to make a decision. But I really, really think that AEA has to earn his money, and that's the Alabama Education Association. If the teachers come to them complaining or school employees come and complaining and they are members, AEA must do something about it. So that effort was made to block the sale of George Washington Middle School. So that's what we're looking at in regards to that. So if we continue to look at it in a way that it can work in the favor of the young people, I just believe that every situation, especially dealing in public education, if it's not for the benefit of the children, don't do it. I think children are the number one priority. And when you focus on our children and what's best for them, their chance for success. We talked about that in several shows back about chance for success. The question is, by selling George Washington to Pike Road, do our children that are being moved to other schools have a chance for success? That's the question. And I want you to call in and try to answer that question. Share some thoughts on that question. Call in numbers 347-857-4192. And you can share your thoughts. We really want to know what you think about the situation, regardless of whether you're an educator in Montgomery Public School or whatever county you're in. Administrator, just call in 347-857-4192. So that's what we're looking forward to. That's one of the topics we wanted to talk about and share some discussion on it. And my co-host shared some strong discussion on it. Just to kind of finalize and move to something else, there's some discussion that's being stated in this lawsuit saying that Pike Road separated from Montgomery County School System a few years ago. Ed Richardson worked as a consultant to help Pike Road start its own school system and has a conflict of interest. So that is one of the reasons why EA is challenging, because you are now serving as interim state superintendent. And just 8 months ago, you were getting a lump sum of money from Pike Road to establish a school system there. So that is a conflict of interest. And we don't want it where it's co-mingling. Thoris Stokes, the attorney, said the issue should not be co-mingled. And what he's referring to is that the $9.75 million for the sale of George Washington and the money that's owed to Montgomery Public School, which is $1.5 million, that was inadvertently sent to Pike Road. Now, apparently right now they're holding on to the money. The question I also put out, is that right? Should Pike Road be holding on $1.5 million that belongs to Montgomery Public Schools and tied it into a sale of a school? I don't agree with that. I'm totally in disagreement with them doing that, because I don't think you need to kind of hold somebody's hand to the fire and make sure they do something. I first of all want to say these decisions should be made by the Board of Education. Each one of the seven members of the Board of Education is elected. There is district. And when they're elected, they're to represent the young people as well as everybody in the community. At this point, they relinquish their power to assist. So now they look like a board running around with their head, like chicken with the head cut off, like they were saying in the country back a long time ago. They just run around, don't know where they're going. So this kind of stuff happened to them, because when you start asking individuals to come in, allowing individuals to come into your setting, thinking they're going to help you, a lot of times they're not going to help you. They're looking out for their interests. And this was happening when they offered the State Department of Education, said, come in. Yes, we got 17 fellow schools, but Birmingham and other ones have 15, 16. So are you going to go to each one of those systems? But when the board asked that, they should expect. Now, they thought the previous superintendent may not have been as strong to do what Ed Richardson, who's a retired superintendent for the state of Alabama, was able to do as an interim. So that's some of the biggest concerns we have here. And these are some issues that's going to be addressed more and more in the next few days. The adjudication of this is coming about. So we look forward to seeing something happen that's going to be positive. We're going to see what strength that each one of these organizations have. Are we going to come to a common ground to make sure that our young people have an opportunity or a chance to succeed? That's as far as we go. That's my statement in regards to that. Anything else you want to add, my co-host?
No, I just, if people don't agree with what's being done, my whole thing is, can y'all all come up with a solution? If you can come up with a solution that's going to help the financial burden that the so-called Board of Education says they have, then fine. But if you're not going to come up with a solution, it's almost like, come on, man. You're getting in the way of progress, in my opinion.
That is great. That is great. Great talk. Great talk. All right. We're going to, before we do move to looking at our next thought process, our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And when you call in and you want to share your thoughts on these discussions, press 1, and we'll call out the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. And then when you get on the line, we'll ask you to make sure you state who you are and where your location, and then go for it. We want you to share yourself. All right, the next thing we want to look at is we want to discuss the attorney hired to represent the Montgomery Public School, and I'm going to say Board of Education. Attorney Fred Bell has been hired as a counsel for the Board of Education. However, he has a lawsuit against the Board of Education. Tell me what you think about that. Give me your thoughts on that, co-host. And also, I want you to call in and share your thoughts. Email me. You can email me at LarissaDSmith15@gmail.com. What is your thought on Fred Bell filing a lawsuit against Montgomery Board of Education, but now have been hired as the counsel for Montgomery Board of Education, Montgomery Public School Board of Education?
I'm going to go ahead and say I did a lot of research, and it's going to be real quick. I didn't understand. If somebody got a lawsuit against you, why would you hire them to work for you? That's crazy. Like, think about it like this. If you're a manager of a store and somebody stole out your store, why would you hire them to work for you? Why? Still again?
That's important.
You hire work for you so you can school again? That's crazy. If you got something against me, I'm not gonna hire you to work for me. That's not very smart. It's not smart in my opinion. It's not smart.
And just to kind of add with that right there, Fred Bell is an honorable man. He's our representative in this district over here that includes from Maryland Road all the way over to Bale Road and Regency Park and Jan Drive and all the several other places that include. He's been representing this district for my district for the last two years. Has done a job, is not a question. He's a city councilman as well. Now a council for the Montgomery Public School Board of Education. I think that's a conflict of interest if you're filing a lawsuit. Now, the lawsuit was filed, and he's representing. Let me give you a little background on the lawsuit. The lawsuit is involving the previous Montgomery Public School chief finance officer, Pamela Wooden. She was fired by the board after August of 2016 paycheck issue led to many of the staff and faculty of Montgomery Public School not receiving pay. So in return, she said it wasn't her mistake. It was a glitch in the computer. but it led to her being removed. So Fred Bell was hired as a counsel for her. So she has that lawsuit against the Montgomery Public School Board of Education. At the time, the superintendent was Margaret Allen. So I don't know whether we're going to say this kind of crossing, but I agree with my co-host. Why would you hire somebody that's going to work for you that's still suing you? I do think that is a conflict of interest. I think that is not the direction we need to go. What are we teaching our young people? What are we sharing with them about? You go out there and you do that. You challenge that position or that agency, and then all of a sudden you maneuver to get hired with that agency. Something is not right with that. And I agree that if he's hired, it should be some kind of judicial review. But my understanding from the right source shared to me in the last meeting they had, they made it official. Maybe there was some discussion made how they was going to go in regards to that lawsuit with the CFO. So the bottom line is, I don't agree with intermingling those two individuals together, but if he's only not going to represent the Board of Education, then I have no problem with it. So this is one of the situations. These are the things that are going on in Montgomery Public School. It is concerning. I actually listened to an editorial the other day in the editorial on Channel 12, and it was talking about getting rid of everybody on the board, or either they should resign or quit, because for the situation to be going on, what the next topic we're going to talk about is that, you know, those individuals have been a part of this. This information about the failing schools, the sale, the intervention, did not just start this year. It has been going on for the last three or four. And those individuals are serving and have served on the board, some of them 8 to 10 years. So the question, what have you been doing to help give our young people a chance for success? What have you been doing? So the question is, should each of those members, and I understand there are several people who have put their head in the race for each one of those open seats that will be available after the toward this election. Even those individuals that are seating now, they don't have to run again. Two of them have said they officially would not run. That's Durden Dean and Eleanor Dawkins. She says she's not going to run. He's not going to run, but that leaves the other one available to be challenged, and that would be Porterfield, who's now served as the president, Melissa Snow, who served as a representative, Dr. Key served as a representative, Mary Briers. Now, her seat is not up for election this term. It'll be in 2020, if I'm not mistaken. So she's not worried about that. And also the last seat is Erica Smith, and her seat, she's just been elected to that seat. So her seat is not up for election. So, but there is at least four seats that's up for re-election, five seats. So those five seats are going to be available. So if you want to change in Montgomery, get out and vote. Get you a candidate that's going to challenge these people and just put somebody in new and see if some fresh blood can make a difference. All right. We want to take this opportunity to kind of talk about the job that's occurring in Montgomery Public Schools. And, yes, we're on them tonight. We're going to be on Montgomery Public Schools. And we want to talk about it. And officials, you can call in. I have no problem. Share your thoughts. Maybe you can give us some information about it. And the call-in number is 347-857-4192. If you want to call in. It's okay. We want you to talk. Your voice is good. We want you all here to talk. Discussion is in regards to the failing schools. The failing school list came out. 17 non-magnet schools in Montgomery Public School failed. Did not meet the minimum requirement. So the system was put out there to be taken over by the State Department of Education. Let's discuss. What is going on in Montgomery Public Schools? And I definitely want my co-host to kind of share some thoughts on her, because I know her background. Her background is not with the public schools totally, but I want her to share some thoughts about why we're experiencing such a high rate of failing non-magnet students. And before she do that, I want to explain to you. In Montgomery County, we have several, Montgomery Public Schools, you have several magnet schools. Magnet schools from the elementary all the way up to high school. And each of those schools have those criteria of selecting students. Those schools are not having problems not meeting the requirement. It's those traditional schools that are having the problems meeting the requirement. So, co-host, you want to share some thoughts and talk a little bit about these 17 traditional or non-magnet schools failing and not meeting the requirement and considered to be a failing school?
Okay, yeah, let's go ahead and start it off. Lack of leadership. When you have lack of leadership and nobody know who they answering to, and is no punishment for behavior when it comes to teachers not teaching it and teachers not preparing their students. So their teachers just get passed through the system. Their teacher just continues to teach because they say they have a lack of teachers. So you have a teacher that's not preparing their students and they continue to teach. So you got to think about it like this. If a teacher's been at school 20 years and she ain't been teaching for 20 years, she done taught, what, two generations, almost three generations of nothing? So come on, and the failing schools, it's every high school, that non-magnet high school in Montgomery County is failing. Now, every high school in Montgomery County is what? Black. Every elementary, well, the elementary schools that made the list, Davis Elementary, Highland Avenue Elementary, those schools are in what we call poverty-stricken areas. So are you saying they are failing? I don't put failing on the students. That's not the students' fault. It's the teachers' fault. Students can't teach themselves, especially not in elementary school. That's the teachers' fault. Are we saying we're not putting qualified teachers in these areas? Are we saying that we're not hiring qualified teachers for these high schools? Are we saying we're not hiring qualified teachers for these two or three middle schools? What are we saying? Because the failure is not upon the students. The failure is on the teaching and administration. So when the list came out of these schools, I said, well, I already know the schools that's on there. You want to know why I know? Because I had the opportunity to actually be in one, and it's no way that a student can pass if they walk in the halls from 8 to 2:45. You can't pass nothing but time and gas. That's all you can pass, walking the halls like that. Ain't no teacher trying to make sure they ain't class. They walk out, and teacher say, good, there's one less student I have to teach or one less student I have to watch. I even heard people say, well, this one less student I had to baby stay in here. Baby stay in here? Come on. And the child was in 12th grade. So what are we preparing our kids for? That's my whole thing. If you got 17 schools failing, that's half of the schools in your county. What are you preparing these kids for? It looked like failure.
You're burning it up, and I want you to hold that thought. We're going to just take an opportunity right now. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, and I'll chime in on it as well. I still want you to call in as well. Make sure you call in 347-857-4192. And if you want to go to the web link to hear the show, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/LDAlbertoSmithProduction. Go to that, and you'll get a chance to hear the show. You go to my Facebook page, which is Dr. L. D'Alberto Smith at Facebook.com, and you'll be able to just click on the web link. There's a short link, and you can the short link in regards to the show, click on that, and you get an option. And if you want to email, you can email me at LDLorenzoDSmith15@gmail.com. Let's take a little short break to catch our breath, and we're going to put some music on, and we want you to enjoy the next 3 or 4 minutes of the music we're going to put on. Then we're going to come back strong, and we're going to come back all alone.
Whoa, whoa.
Can't let you go now, Fico. We're ready to get back started with the show. We're ready to get back at it. We have to take our little break and just to remind you that our focus tonight is genuine talk about educational and political issues. My co-host, Lauren D. Smith, has shared some strong concerns, some strong thoughts earlier in regards to our first half of the show. Now we're on the second half. We're round the corner now. We're at the midpoint, what you call hump day, hump day. Let it be hump day. We're all good with hump day, but today is not hump day. This is one day after hump day. Most people say this is throwback Thursday. We're sharing some music that's throwback Thursday, so we wanted you to make sure you listen to what we were sharing with you about Maze. But we was on the topic about the failing schools. And in Montgomery Public Schools, the reason for the intervention is because of the 17 failing schools. My co-host was sharing some good thoughts about that. She was talking about these schools and the location, poverty-stricken areas of where these schools. But I also have to look at the high school level. But before I start sharing my thoughts with that, I want her to continue to share any other thoughts she have and just kind of complete what she was talking about in regards to the failing schools. Coach Smith.
We have to do better as a community, you know. a lot of these schools are in communities where it's, I'm going to go ahead and say it's black churches around. And, you know, I always say black churches don't care anything about the money. And I'm waiting for one to prove me wrong, because it's churches within these communities that can have after-school programs. It's teachers that go to these churches that can lend their time and be tutors when they get off work and help these kids. So these schools will not be failing. I mean, I guess you can't just say, well, if a teacher job is 8 to 245, 8 to 245, that's not going to work. Sometimes the parents can't do it, but that's where, you know, they say it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes a village to raise a school. It takes a village to make a community better. So that's my second take on it, is that the black churches in these communities need to try to do a little better and try to go out and establish tutoring programs and go to the schools after school. You can start your own after school program. All you need is tutors. That's it. Tutors and bring some Doritos, and them kids will come every time. I promise you they will. All they want is some juice and some help. I've seen it done.
And Coach, I'll go right along with you, because working in education for over 35 years, the case that is always happening at home is not at home. And it's a lot of time that because of the areas they're in, because of their family situation, our student does not come to school prepared. First of all, we really have to promote our pre-K level, because it's so important to be able to promote that. I really see that once we start off early with our young people, the earlier we start, the better they're going to be. And then it said about the third grade, and it's sad that everybody can do statistical data. And we're going to take these 17 schools, because the schools identified as failing schools, that means those students don't have a chance for success. But they said they can take a child in the third grade whose statistical sensor data can determine whether that child will actually succeed with a qualified education. But besides that, they also take those same numbers, which I always challenge them when they say that, and determine how many prison beds they're going to need. And that's really a major concern in the third grade, and we are not taking that at heart. We really got to focus. It takes a whole village. My co-hosts have said that many times. It just, you know, she can even attest to herself. It just wasn't her and doing her work, and her sister, her brother doing her work, that with both parents pushing them, making sure, checking their work, making sure they're doing. You know, and that's what it's all about. So it does take the whole village to do it. And the encouragement from your aunts, your uncles, your grandparents, your cousins, want to see you do well. It's going to take everybody playing a part. We have to take down this armor that we got on and allow our young people to reach their potential. What I'm saying is we on guard. We on guard because so much is happening that we don't want our children to be even chastised for adults, because we think that is wrong. But the point is, when you turn your child over to the school system, even though you not having any confidence, you ask them to keep that child at that school for 8 hours and give them an opportunity or a chance for success. That's what it's all about. It's really all about that. But to have this situation where we got 17 failing schools in Montgomery Public School, all of this, you can't place it all on the children. You can't place it all on the teachers. You can't place it all on the parent. Because I always said, I put those three together. Those three is parents send you the best they got at home to school. If they had anything better, they'll send it. They send you the best. So the parents have to do their part. The children have to do their part. Teachers have to do their part. And we cannot work afraid. We can't work scared. You know, just like that saying is that teachers are afraid of principals. Principals afraid of superintendent. Superintendents afraid, really afraid of board of education. Board of education afraid of parents. Come back to the parent now, and children ain't scared of nobody. And that's been said many a time. So we got to really, really look at that. Because children ain't afraid of you. You know, they can figure you out quicker than you can figure them out. They are good observers of adults. Because you know why? They see you as who they may have to be one day. So set a good example. So don't come to the classroom as a teacher and say, well, your mama should have done that for you last night. You come there because when you get them, you teach them. Show them. Teach them where they are, not where you think they should be. I didn't say what you want them to be. I said where you think they should be. That's our biggest problem here. And we're going to continue to have failing schools. Even through intervention, we're going to continue to have because everybody is going a little bit too far and not doing what they're supposed to. I did my editorial on that. I'm gonna get off. I'm gonna cut that short. But we're gonna count. We got a couple other topics we're gonna touch on. And my co-host, I want to make sure she can get all her energetic and millennial thought in here. Okay, let's look at, and we're gonna kind of move down something tied in with the school system. In Gainesville, Georgia, a teacher was removed from her job due to alleged post as a white Nazi supremacist. She was doing a blog talk show, a podcast, and she made some statements about individual black students out of New Orleans. And she stated that African-American students has lower IQ than white students. I want you to call in. I want you to share your thoughts. If you're on the line, won't you just push one? Push one. Let me hear what you have to say. Don't let the co-host and I just talk all night. Push one and tell us exactly, if it ain't nothing but that one statement by that teacher saying that African-American or either white students or have a higher IQ than black students or African-American students. I really want you to call in. I want you to share your thoughts. But if you're going to look at the data we just talked about, look at the information on the 17 non-magnet schools and Montgomery Public School failing, come on now. Come on. And the majority make up. So let's talk about that. Our call in number is 347-857-4192. So we're going to look at that topic. And I want my co-host to kind of jump in on that topic about the Gainesville, Georgia teacher being removed due to her being alleged post as a white Nazi supremacist. And her statement was that African-American students has lower IQ than white students.
Okay. So for people who do not know what the IQ test really consists of, it's called verbal scales and a performance scale. The verbal scales are, please listen to this. Everybody that's listening to this talk, so listen to this right now. Verbal scales are mathematics and reading, okay? Forming. Basically, it's like putting things together by pictures or by symbols. So when she said that the IQ was low in African Americans, she did not tell, not one large or small tale. She told the truth. And I'm going to go ahead and back this up. I had the opportunity this summer to work for the Parks and Rec. And this summer was the first summer that the Parks and Rec actually had a program at Brubaker Junior High. So my Brubaker Junior High has summer school. They are offering summer school. They are the middle school there's middle school for summer school. So that's a school that everybody that failed the class comes to that in junior high between the 6th and 8th grade. So I had the opportunity every day to ask these kids, why are you in summer school? The main thing that they said, they failed math, science, or English. All the IQ test is arithmetic, which is math, reading, and putting things together. What is science? Putting things together. Putting this with this, and you get this. What is math? Same thing. What is reading? comprehension. Not just I can read cat and dog, it's comprehending. So it's being able to read something. And if I ask you 10 minutes later, what did you read? You can come back to me and say, well, I read that the dog went up the street and he ate off the ground and came back home. Not I don't know or I don't understand what it said. I have to agree with her. Granted, she shouldn't have said it on the show, but, you know, she didn't tell one tale of my team because that's what African-Americans lack. We have school doing math. We can't comprehend. I did not say we can't read. I said we cannot comprehend. If you can't comprehend, you might as well, you can't read. And our science is low. So we can't be mad at her. I have a good friend. Me and him talk about things like this all the time. And he says, well, black people need to stop getting mad and start putting in the work to show these people, you know, that's a stereotype. And we're not living up to that. Instead, we live up to the stereotype. Instead, we feed into that. So how about we say, nah, we our IQ okay. And we go and we get tutors for the subjects that we lack. We go and we ask for help. It's okay to ask for help in math. It's okay to ask for help in reading. It's definitely okay to ask for help when it comes to science. We have to stop being so afraid to ask for help and ask, oh, I don't understand. We're so, for some odd reason, black people are so prideful, and we have no space to be. We have no reason to be that prideful, but we cannot ask for help when it comes to education, when it comes to us understanding, when it comes to us being better people. We can't be prideful of that. We can't. So what she said is true.
Let me cut you off right there, and I want you to hold that thought because we have a caller on the line. The caller with the last four digit of 5452.
Hello?
Hello, how you doing, caller? Where are you calling from, caller?
I'm calling from Mississippi.
All right, tell us what you think in regards to what we're talking about, the statement made by the African-American, by the so-called white Nazi supremacists about African-American students having lower IQ than white students.
As an educator, it's already known that data shows us that our students are deficient in that area, but as an educator, we wear different clothes, and so just because you see a problem, why not be a part of the solution and not criticize? Our black students, they have so many things against them right now. Society already stereotypes them, and as an educator, you are held to a different standard. No matter if you're in the classroom or after hours on the weekend, you're an educator at all times, and we're all lifelong learners. And for her to say that, being a Caucasian, and talk about our black generation, that just kind of bothers me. Do something about it. If you didn't want to help all types of children or diverse population of children, why are you in education? And so instead of talking about them, be about it. Help them out. Make a difference. Go on the radio and talk about something positive that they're doing. Help increase those test scores. If their parents are not doing it, stay after hours. Do extra tutoring. Come in the morning time. Do what's required, because when you chose this profession, it's because you wanted to make a difference, but now you're criticizing some of the students that you need to be helping. And so I just didn't agree with that at all, and I just wanted to call and make a comment about that.
And, Carla, we really thank you for calling in and sharing your thought. You can stay on the line if you want to, and you want to share some thoughts later on in regards to what we're talking about. But I want to get back, and we're going to kind of wrap this up, co-host. If you got any last thought about that, my co-host, in regards to that statement being made, can you share that? Then we're going to move to some one or two political issues before we have to close the show up.
One more thing. I do agree with the caller. Gainesville, Georgia is, according to data, is it claims to be a majority white area. So, for one, she really shouldn't have said it, being in that area. She shouldn't have said it, period, not being a Caucasian woman, because you teach African-American kids every day, and if you're not going to help them increase the score, be quiet.
All right, then. My call is straight to the point. Again, I want to thank that caller for taking an opportunity to call and share that point with us from Mississippi, and we're very excited about that. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Join the conversation. This is something that will strike a nerve in you and say, I want to discuss this. And I don't want to share my thoughts, so just dial that number again, 347-857-4192. And the political issue I want to talk about surrounding the state of Alabama in regards to the District 26 state senator race. There was a runoff held last week in regards to the Democratic nominee for the runoff, and it was between David Burkett and John Knight. David Burkett had over 3,600 votes, and John Knight had 2,900, and David Burkett won the nomination. However, there is going to be sort of like a general election between the Republican representative, which is D.J. Johnson, on May the 15th. This election will be for the Senate seat. I said earlier, that Senate seat is a powerful seat, because that seat was held by Dr. Quentin Ross, who's now the president of Alabama State University. And that seat requires nominating and sometimes making sure those nominees for the board, Alabama State Board, should be confirmed, and it's based on legwork and everything. So we really, really think that's an important race. Co-host, can you just kind of share some thoughts in regards to what you've been hearing about this election and what's exactly going on? Still there, Lauren?
Oh,
yeah. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
The election that just passed us with Coach David Burkett and Representative John Knight. A lot of people said that this should not have been an election. So basically, we shouldn't have had a special election, because the special election wastes a lot of money, so they say. And I have to agree, because we seem to be in debt as a state, so we're wasting money on ballot workers, when I believe that runoff could have waited. But anyway, yeah, that's really it on that. I agree with a lot of people who are saying that special elections need to be done away with, because there was a special election. So I think that I agree in that sense.
And it's kind of like we're getting in close to the end of the show. They kind of give us some more light on that, and before we close it out for the night, this seat, again, was held by Dr. Quentin Ross, who's now the president of Alabama State University. And the election that just was held was for the Democratic nominee, as I stated earlier. And the runoff will be, well, the general election, which will be May the 15th, will be between D.J. Johnson, a Republican, and David Burkett, a Democrat. However, there were some actions taken in the legislature yesterday, or the last few days, to leave that seat vacated because of the short time. Because what's going to happen, and if I can share that with you in the last 1 or 2 minutes, is that seat, after May the 15th, whoever's elected still got to run on June the 5th. So they will get, and the legislative session will be over with. So they don't want to see anybody for a short period of time. So by June the 5th, they said that seat, you have to run again. So whoever's elected out of the two still will have to run again. And then the general election in November will determine that seat. And that's why the legislature of the state of Alabama voted a House Constitution. The House Constitution Campaign Election Committee voted that seat would stay vacant, or any other seats that come into come open that may cause a special election. So that's the move of the legislature. So the seat will probably won't be filled right now until November. And because the next session of the legislature will be coming up in the spring of 2019. So that's one of the things, and it's something to talk about because it was a very exciting opportunity. But the last thing I want to share with you before I go into the closing part of this is the House of Representatives seat, which is Representative 77th District, with John Knight, who's choosing not to run for this House of Representatives 77th District of a seat. And there are several candidates, and I want to mention some of those possible candidates. That's Professor Dr. Lindell Findlay, Tashina Morris, Malcolm Calhoun, and Christopher Turner, and Dan Harris. Dan Harris is one of our county commissioners. So it's going to be a spirited race, and that election will happen coming up on the 5th of June to determine who will serve in that seat on the who will be on the Democrat side, because this is always Representative John Knight's seat that's no longer he's running for anymore. He's interested in again running for the state senate seat. So we just say it's exciting times. A lot is going on in Alabama, and we want to talk about it and share it with you. My co-host, we're about to close it out. You want to share some final thoughts with everybody before we leave here? We have about 2 minutes, maybe about 3 minutes left.
Okay, yes, good people. So he gave you the House Representative seat for District 77. I have the honor to go ahead and let this news be known that Kirk Hatcher is running for the House of Representatives seat 78. It was previously held by Representative Alvin Holmes. It's my great pleasure to endorse this candidate. I hope you guys go to the polls in June to vote for Mr. Kirk Hatcher for House Representative 78. That seat is up for grabs. Alvin Holmes has stated that he will not run for re-election, so it's a new voice. It's a new time in Montgomery. We need to go ahead and hop on board of this campaign.
All right. That's awesome. That's awesome. And we thank you. And if this is Kirk Hatcher, I know we're going to be definitely supporting him in spirit because that's not my district to vote in, but he's an individual I do know. And get out and vote. Make sure your vote count. We look forward to having you again next week. Now, Wednesday night, we have our Talking Sports Plus at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Our call-in number is the same, 347-857-4192. Then on Thursday night, we'll be back again with our show. We're going to share some more spirited thought with you. We was genuine with you tonight. We came straight from the hip. We talked about educational issues, political issues. So we're excited about having the opportunity to come before you. So we look forward to talking with you and sharing thoughts with you next week. From this point on, co-hosts, we will all say good night. If you want to say good night to them, then we'll move to closing the show out.
Good night, good people. Have a blessed weekend. Stay safe and sober. See you guys next Wednesday.
And just to add on to that is, again, I say good night, and we're going to leave out here with Bruno Mars, 24 Carats.
Tonight.